Our gospel for this Good Shepherd Sunday is the Good Shepherd part of the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, Jesus is, you know, in the 10th chapter of John, he's doing a number of different things where he's talking about and using the metaphor of the sheep, you know, the sheepfold, the sheep gate, and all this. And now he turns to being, well, I am the sheepfold, I am the sheep gate, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Hate to say it, but it was another disappointing morning. I woke up again and there wasn't someone standing by my bed going, "Good morning, Your Majesty, here's your tea." You know, there's a lot of stuff in the news about different advancements in biotechnology and stuff like that, and I think it's appropriate in this. Do you know what happens if you cross a sheep and a cow? You get an animal in a very bad mood. Now, here's the question of the day. If the king gets a king-size mattress, and the queen gets a queen mattress, what does the prince get? An air mattress. I will get you to call upon the name of the Lord one way or another. Yeah, I know. It's just another one of those days I woke up and it wasn't, there's the, you know, "Good morning, Your Majesty." Darn it. Now, one thing I have in my iTunes is I have a song that I first was introduced, or a version of a song that I was first introduced to through a television show on the BBC. It's this beautiful arrangement of the 23rd Psalm. And I love listening to it because, one, it's a beautiful rendition, but also it reminds me of this wonderful TV show, which is delightfully quirky and altogether funny because it's altogether true of what it's often like to be clergy, in this case in England. But as I was listening to it this week, as I'm thinking about this lesson, these lessons in this Sunday, the phrase struck me: "The Lord is my shepherd." Now, I've talked about other times, and other times I've lifted up the fact that, please notice, if any of us paid any attention whatsoever in high school English, the simple fact of the matter is, the 23rd Psalm is not something that's written for something that will eventually happen. It's a current thing. The Lord is. The Lord leads. The Lord walks with me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long is the only future tense thing that's in there. But the thing that struck me is the Lord is my shepherd. And I thought, how? And do we understand it? I mean, just even from the Lord, okay? Jesus is Lord, the Lord, okay? How do we, in a hyper-individualistic, focused on self and personal rights, liberties, and everything else like that, democratic society, understand what it means to truly have a Lord? Well, I didn't vote for him. That's the point. You don't get to. You don't have a vote. The Lord says go, you go. The Lord says do, you do. We don't have that kind of understanding in most of our lives anymore. But this is the Lord. I want to give you a little aside. I talked about the eclipse and how some people were acting a little weird about the eclipse that was coming up. One of my dear friends and a colleague in Illinois, their children are finally started college. He is the campus minister at Illinois State University and in Bloomington Normal. And so they didn't quite get a full, but they got pretty close. And so there was a bunch of people that were out watching the eclipse. And he was talking about the fact that there were also people out there with signs going, pray, or Jesus is king, or Jesus is Lord. And he commented, he's like, I'm a pastor, I don't get this. But what he really didn't get is one of them got up on one of like the posts and started yelling at people to pray and actually hit somebody with the sign that said, Jesus is king. He's like, I don't know what he was teaching other than the fact that I know that there's probably several dozen people who are now less likely to have a positive idea of what it means to be Christian. But it's a perfect example of someone who does not understand Lord and who is the Lord. Because Lord is about force. You don't have a vote. You don't have a choice. You do it. Jesus runs into a messenger of a centurion who sends his messenger to Jesus because his very good friend was ill. And he tells them, no, you don't have to come to my house. Simply say the word and my servant will be healed because I too am a man under authority. I say go and someone goes. I say come and someone comes. He understands authority. Authority in the sense of you will and you will. And what happens if someone doesn't? Well, whack. Who's Lord in that situation? And what's the message that's being proclaimed? And that's why I think it's somewhat odd. The Lord is my shepherd. Pilate was a perfect Lord. Pilate was, shall we say it was one man, one vote? He was the one man and he had the one vote? Because he could decide, and he even told Jesus, I can choose whether you live or you die. Now Jesus here comments that, no, I have the power to give it up and power to take it back up. But Pilate was going, I have the power. I have the authority to make you or not. Now please notice what often it means to have that kind of leadership though. Like the centurion who sent someone to go to Jesus. Pilate had the power, but he didn't execute the sentence. He had other people who then were to beat him, flog him, strip him, and crucify him. And in fact, Pilate just washed his hands of it all. We often talk about, normally not in the United States, we don't use this one, but in Europe and stuff, they talked about dying for king and country. Why? Because the king said, go, and you went. The king didn't. You did. The king, the Lord, and normally the way our world operates, leads from behind. But the Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd doesn't lead from behind. A shepherd doesn't walk behind the flock and go, yeah, because they won't listen. A shepherd walks in the front and the flock follows because they know his voice. The shepherd leads from the front. And this shepherd says, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. Wait, what? These bags of eyeballs, teeth, and wool that look for incredibly dumb ways to die and wander off? Yes, them. If you've ever been around sheep, you understand what I'm talking about. The shepherd walks in the midst, in front of. This shepherd will lay down his life. the Lord will But which one do we normally want? We normally want the Lord, don't we? We want the power. We want to see authority executed. Of course, we always want it on our terms, and we want it in our favor, but that's what we want, don't we? In fact, most of us would just, you know, I don't want the whole world, I just want your half. How many of us play the game of, gee, if I woke up as king for the day, what happens if I won the lottery? What if I had more power, more authority, more influence, whatever? How many of us don't play that game? It's seductive, and not just in Star Wars movies. The dark side is real. Join me and we shall rule the galaxy together. The last test Satan gave Jesus in the wilderness was, I will give you power and authority over all of these things if you just worship me. And how easy it is to want to, well, I'll do a better job than those people. I'll be nicer than those people. Have you ever thought that those people thought that once too? But that's because we want to be in charge. As Gandhi said, be the change you want to be in the world. You know, there's a cartoon that's out there that says that, you know, that the first panel is, how many of you want the world to be different? How many of you want to be different in the world? Because we want the power to have everything else change, not us. The Lord is my shepherd. And we wonder why certain things like common decency, common sense, common good, all those things are not so common anymore. Is it possibly because we're listening to other things and not the voice of our Lord, the good shepherd? Because let's face it, how many of us would rather have the one ride in on the war horse and I've got this? And we get the one who rides in on a donkey. We want the roaring lion and all its power and roaring. We get the lamb. But we get the one who does it because this is what it means to live in the kingdom. When Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, he takes off his robe, wraps a towel around his waist, and washes the feet of his disciples. And then he goes, teachable moment. Do you see what I did for you? I am teacher and Lord, and yet I did this for you. So too, you must. The last shall be first, the first shall be last. We hear that several times. But out of that whole lesson, he starts with washing feet, and then the start of the Lord's Supper, he then goes, I give you one commandment. That sounds very lordly. I command you. One commandment. Love one another. This is how people will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He gave up heaven for earth. The word that created became the word that became flesh, which became the one we crucified, because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. He washes feet as an example. He commands us to love one another. For God so loved the world. Yes, those people. Yeah, and those two. And, yep, especially those. so much that he gave up heaven for earth. He gave up life for death. For you. For the world. May we learn to hear the voice and may we follow. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.